Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Galatians 2 and 20, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I'm dead with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Talking about that love again. He loved us and gave himself for us. Brother Dusty talked about how he became a servant to us. And not just that servant, definitely a servant, but also a sacrifice for us, the blood of the precious Lamb of God. I want to talk to you a few moments on this. I almost preached this a few weeks ago. God just stepped in and took over the service, but I want someone to know today that change can happen. Change can happen. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much today. Thank you for this worship and for all we've felt in this service. Lord, we just honor you today. There's no way to repay you for what you've done, but with our whole hearts, we just worship you today. Father, bless us to hear what the Spirit would say. Lord, anoint these lips for just a few moments that I might speak a word of encouragement to your people. God, that it would help them, help us all. Challenge us, change us, let us be better and be ready to meet you when you come. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands and give God a shout of praise this morning? He's worthy of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord today. Thank you to our praise team and our band for just doing what they did today, just leading us into this presence of the Lord. We thank you for that. And want to say, before I forget it while it's on my mind, want to wish a very happy 18th birthday to Sister Isabel Peacock today. Appreciate this young lady. Just been watching her grow up over the years, and we thank God for her. Hope you have the best and happiest birthday today. Praise God. Change can happen. If anybody can testify to that, I can. I know there's others in here that can. There are those that remember what it was like before the Lord. I used to say pre-Jesus. Of course, I know he was always watching, but before I decided to give my life to him, before I decided to answer that call, my life looked completely different. Oftentimes when I speak of some of those things, people will say, I just can't believe that was you, Pastor. I just can't see you doing that or saying that or acting in that way. And that's simply a testimony to the good work that God does. Because when he changes you, he changes you. And I don't want someone to think today that your situation is hopeless, because it's not. I don't want you to believe today that I've been on this path so long that I just know this is how it will be until he comes back. I don't see any change happening. That's usually when change happens. A lot of times you don't see it coming. You didn't have any idea that you was even on God's radar, but you were. You had no idea that he was watching you and listening to you and seeing the direction that you were headed, all the while knowing that he was going to intersect with you somewhere and the opportunity for change was going to be there. Yeah. I think of a lot of people that had no idea that the Lord was about to show up, but change was about to happen. When David was sitting on the backside of the field and just tending the sheep, singing songs to the Lord, they sent for him and said, the man of God wants you back at the house. And he came to the house, and the prophet anointed him that day. He didn't take a shower. He didn't change. He didn't get cleaned up, but he just came like he was, and the Lord told him, he said, anoint this one. This will be the next king of Israel. This will be the king, a man after my own heart. David's life went from that point. He was changed forevermore. There was a woman in the book of John, chapter 4, that had lived her life, and it had not been the life probably that she desired. Because the scripture tells us that we find out in her story that she had had five husbands, and the man she was now living with was not her husband. And she was sneaking, if you will, to the well in the middle of the day so she could avoid confrontation or just the whispers or the stares of people who knew that she had not really had so great a life. But when she got to the well, the one who changes everything was there waiting. And it wasn't an accident. He knew I must go through Samaria. I need to meet this woman who thinks this is all I will ever have. I need to meet this woman and tell her that I have something that can help her today. Let me tell you, we talk about change and we say, well, you can't change your past. Well, maybe you can't change your past, but you can cover it. It might not can be, you can't erase it. What happened, happened. And what you did, you did it, but it can be covered. I'm so thankful that I can come to the Lord and He can cover it, and the blood of Jesus can wash and cleanse us from all our sin. And this woman here may have thought, I'll never change what's happening. But that day she was about to meet a man that could change everything. He told her all she had ever done. That's her words. He must be the Christ. Well, I'm so thankful for the Christ that gave His life for us and that brings change into our lives when it seems unchangeable. He didn't all of a sudden change her marital status. He did not change her status in the eyes of the people. But He let her see that there's somebody that loves you, and the love that He has will take a chance. She said, why are you, being a Jew, talking to me, which am a Samaritan? Because Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. But He wasn't there as a Jew. He was there as the King. He wasn't there as the circumcised children of God Almighty. He was there as the Savior, the Lamb. He was there as the fountain of living water to let her know that I've got a gift for you. That I can give you something today, that it won't change that you've had five husbands. It won't change the fact that you're living with someone who is not your husband. But I'll tell you what it can do. It can change your life from this point forward. From this point forward, everything can be different. From this point forward, everything can be new. From this point forward, it doesn't have to be the way that it has been. Always searching, always longing, always wanting something better. Wondering, why can't I have what everybody else has? Wondering, why do I keep failing? But from this point forward, if you would take this free gift, this gift of living water, you'll never come to the wells of this world to drink again. From this day forward, you'll know, you'll mark it on your calendar. Friend, hey, how many can do that? I tell you, I can. I can tell you on January the 13th, 1993, when I was tired of visiting the wells of this world, I found the well of living water, and it changed me. And from January the 13th, 1993, nothing, my friend, was ever the same again. I can't change what I had done. I can't change how awful I had been, and that didn't do that. But it did cover me in His blood. It remitted my sins in His name. And I began to walk in the newness of life. I began to walk on a new path. And friend, me, bigger than anybody can tell you, change can happen. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how lost you were. But God can change your status today. And you can get on a new path in serving Him. We go along our own ways and we try to make it better. We try to make it less painful. That's what that woman at the well was doing, just trying to make it a little less painful. I don't want to see anybody or hear anybody. Oh, great, here's a man. I have problems with men. But this was the seventh man. She had five husbands, living with one, that's six, when she met the seventh man. Seven's God's number. That's that number of completeness. The scripture says you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. And when she met this man, it was different. He wasn't there to romance her. He was not there to flirt with her. He was not there to see what she was all about. He was there to tell her, your life does not have to stay the way that it is. I want you to know today that change is possible. That change can happen. And you've been struggling with this and that and trying to clean yourself up and do yourself better. But friend, we can't do it. The scripture says we could take much soap, and we could take water, and we could wash ourselves, but our iniquity would still be before the Lord. But when we come to Him for the washing, when we come to Him in faith, when we find an altar of repentance, when we go down in the water in the name of Jesus, the blood washes us from all sin. That sin is remitted. And friend, it's written down. Your name's written down in that Lamb's book of life. And all the things you had done to that point, they still happened. But you don't have to worry about them no more. You don't have to wonder, are they going to come back and get you one day? Because those things are buried under the blood, buried in the water in His name. I'm thankful today that change can happen. And the Apostle Paul was one that could testify that you don't have to stay in the error of your ways. While he was doing what he thought was the Lord's work, he was persecuting the church daily. He had stood by at the stoning of Stephen. He had had people locked up and caused them to blaspheme the name that they had believed in. He was doing everything he could to wreak havoc, the scripture said, wreak havoc on the church. And he had no idea that God was watching every step. And one day, while he was traveling down the road, intent on what he was about to do, God knocked him off his horse, off his animal, put him on the ground, blinded him with the light, and all he could do was say, "Who are you, Lord?" And he began to tell him, "I am Jesus that you persecute." And from that point on, Paul, on a day that he thought was just going to be another day with him locking people up, another day of him arresting people or watching people being stoned because they called on the name of Jesus, suddenly the name of Jesus brought the greatest change he would ever see in his life. And he says this, "I am crucified with Christ. I have crucified the old life." When Jesus was crucified, the sins of the world were on him, and he was being crucified so that we could be free from the sin that we were born into. But he said, "Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live," there's a life that you lived, and there is a life that you can now live. People are so worried about trying to hang on to the past, trying to outrun their past, trying to change their past. Why don't you just stop living in the past? Why don't you start living the life that now is? Because if you would come to Him and say, "That's it. I'm tired of doing it halfway. I'm tired of just doing it a little bit. I'm tired of just checking off the boxes. But today, I surrender all. Today, that's it. No more doing my own thing. No more trying to figure it out by myself. God, I'm listening to You. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to surrender my life to You. And I'm going to take up the cross and follow You daily." And I'm going to tell you, if you'll do that, honey, you'll see that change can happen. You'll start thinking different. You'll start walking different. You'll start talking different. Friend, you will be different. It's not just words that we're reading. It's not just words that we read that we say this will get a good response. But friend, these words are true. Jesus said, "My words are spirit." Spirit's alive. He said, "The words I speak are spirit and they are life." And when you take the word of God and begin to follow it, you live. You live differently. You live better. You live with expectation. You live with love and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Friend, that's when you start living. But we've got to submit to Him. And Paul said, "There is a life that I now live in the flesh, in the world. I still live in the world, and you still live in the world. But friend, you don't have to live the way you did before. You can now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you." New life is a changed life. Paul was a persecutor, but God said, "I'm going to make him a preacher." And he said, "I'm going to get rid of that old man's life." He just changed his name and everything. No more Saul of Tarsus, but now he's Paul, the apostle. The Paul, the apostle of the Lamb. and change Paul found out is possible. I never thought I would do anything different. I thought I was doing it right. I didn't want to change nothing because I felt like I was on the right path. But one day Jesus stopped me in my tracks and said, "You're not on the right path, but I can get you there." And friend, we've all been there where we were doing our best and thought we were doing what we were supposed to do. And the Lord stepped in, the Holy Ghost grabbed a hold of you and said, "You're not on the right road. You're not on the right path, but I can get you there. If you'll take up the cross and follow me, I'll get you there. If you'll just take up the cross, I'll make you." The disciples were, a lot of them were fishermen. Some of them we know were fishermen. And he said, "I know you catch fish for a living, but I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to change you. From henceforth, you will catch men." He said, "It's going to be different. It's going to be different than it's ever been before. You're going to be changed as you walk with me. You're going to see things you've never seen. You're going to hear things you've never heard. You're going to experience things you've never experienced. And you're going to say, despite it all, this is the best life that I ever wanted. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me." And people would understand that if they would simply let God in. This love that he has, I mentioned, said it's just so great, it's different. And here's the thing about that love, it always takes a chance. Paul was a persecutor, but the love of God took a chance on him. That woman of Samaria love took a chance on her. The woman that they caught in the act of adultery, they brought her, said, "The law says stone her. What do you say?" And he said, "Those without sin cast the first stone," and they dropped their stones and left. And it was just her and the Lord. He said, "Go your way and sin no more." Love took a chance. She had another opportunity. And from that point on, her life was different. It had been changed. And she was better forever for it. I hope one day when we get to heaven that that woman's there and we could talk to her about that. And she said, "I can mark it on the calendar the day that things changed. Oh, I wasn't doing right and they caught me doing it. They caught me in my wrong. But when I came before him and they threw me before his feet, they had no idea that mercy was about to speak and not judgment." They had no idea how loud. All we can hear is judgment. All we can hear is judgment. But mercy is so much louder. When mercy begins to speak, and the fear melts away and the condemnation melts away, and we realize that we may not deserve it, but we thank God for it. I'm thankful for the love of God today. I'm thankful for the mercy that changes lives. I'm thankful that he is the author and the finisher, that he can rewrite my story. Yeah, I promise you, you can go on without him, and you've got a certain end. You just keep walking without him, you're going to end up in the same place that everybody that walks without him will end up. Your story will be no different. But if you want it different, just give it to him. You know, when Paul was changed, everybody don't get it at first. Your friends, your loved ones, your family, your neighbors, people you used to run with, they think something's happened to you. You've been dragged off into a cult, and you've been brainwashed, and it won't last. It'll never last. He'll be back. They'll be back. But, friend, I'm telling you, God gives you a change. He'll give you something that won't go away. Friend, he'll give you something that stays with you. You just got to trust it. If you'll trust it, it'll stay with you. When Paul, after that incident, the Lord sent Ananias. He said, "I need you to go down there and talk to this Paul and lay hands on him and pray for him and tell him the things that I need you to tell him." And he said, "Wait a minute, I've heard of this guy. And he's locking your people up. And he's got people killed and he's got power to do that to me. If I show up talking about you, he could lock me up." And he said, "He's a chosen vessel." He said, "He's praying. He's praying. He ain't locking people up. He's praying. He ain't stoning nobody. He's praying. I've changed him. Something's different." And Ananias, that fear began to go away. And I'm sure still he probably approached him very timidly, but he realized when he saw this man, this is not the persecutor I've heard about. This man's humble. This man is hungry. This man wants righteousness. This man wants the Lord. And he's been in touch with the Lord. Paul would say also in Galatians 1 and 23, he said that the church was afraid of him. And he said they had heard only, they hadn't seen him yet, but they had heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. Change can happen. Thank God, change can happen. He can lead you out of a life of destruction to a life that blesses other people. He can get you out and off of that destructive path. You don't have to worry about no generational curses and no family inheritance. People say, oh, that's just how it's been in my family. Then break it. Step out of it. Do something different. Because if your family was in error, that doesn't mean God wants you to continue in it. Because he said you can be a new creature. We've got to quit settling that this is just how it's going to be. We got to quit accepting that I'll never be better, that I'll never be different, that I'm just not big enough or educated enough or known enough. It ain't about your reputation. Friend, Jesus would preach to kings and he would preach to fishermen. He would talk to harlots and he would pray for drunkards. He would lay his hands on lepers. He didn't care because he said, I come to change the people that are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but I come to call the sinner. I come to lay hands on the sick. I come to cast devils out. I come to do the work. I come to change lives. And he's still doing it today. You ain't waded off in nothing so deep that he can't pull you out. You ain't went so far in one direction that he can't change it. God is able today to still bring change in your life. The world doesn't preach that too much. The world doesn't believe that too much. Most of them believe I don't have to change. But the Lord's love is so great. But it will never rubber stamp our sin and just okay it because he loves us. He loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He will change you and change your life if you will let him. When people saw Paul or Saul in his old life, nobody could believe it was possible. Probably when they saw the fury and the passion with which he persecuted the church, they just think, this guy needs to be dead. Maybe God will kill him. God didn't have to kill him because God knew he could change him. And some of us have survived and we wonder why I hadn't died yet. Why this hasn't killed me yet. Because God's trying to show you, I don't need you dead. I can change you. And if I can change you, you can help change somebody. You can shine your light and show somebody, this is what God will do to an alcoholic. This is what God will do to a drug addict. This is what God will do to a thief. This is what God will do to those who are lost and undone and just living ungodly. This is what God will do. Every vessel has a past, honey. But when he moves in, the past is gone. When he moves in, you become his. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It might have used to house something else, but when you give up to him, when you repent and he comes in and cleans house, then he can move in and you become holy and acceptable unto God. Hear what I'm telling you this morning. You got all the labels. You think I got too many labels on my life, Pastor. Well, let me tell you, when he moves in, the labels fall off. Because when he starts to shine through, nobody's going to see anything but the love and the mercy of God. They're going to see the handiwork of the King. He wouldn't have suffered if it wouldn't have been sufficient. You hear me? He would not have went and suffered if he didn't think it would have been sufficient. But he knew that what I'm doing on this cross will be absolutely enough to change any life. There ain't nobody that God's sacrifice can't change except the unwilling. But when we are willing and obedient, the scripture said, we will eat the good of the land. He said, come in Isaiah, he said, come and let us reason together. He said, I don't care how deep and dark a stain of red or crimson your sins are. He said, I can make them white like snow. But you got to come and let's talk about it. You can't just hope for it, wish for it. You got to come with words. You got to come with words and talk to him. You got to come with words and tell him, I'm sorry. And come with words and say, I want to be new. Come with words. That woman at the well, she said, sir, give me this living water. She didn't just hear about it and say, well, pretty good. No. Something that could change me. Give me this living water. Bartimaeus was the same when he heard the man that there's a man named opens blinded eyes named Jesus, and he's coming by, and he starts screaming out. Bartimaeus, hush, are you crazy? The one that changes lives is coming by. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to beg. I don't want to be led about anymore. I want things to be different. But you've been a beggar all your life. I know. But it doesn't matter if it's been all your life. Today, this hour, this service, this can be where you meet the one that changes lives forever. This can be where you can mark it down and say, from that day forward, it was never the same. I started following Jesus with my whole heart. I gave him everything that I was. I let him have all of it. I repented of my sins. I was buried in the water in Jesus' name. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. And life will never be the same. Change can happen. He said, the life I now live is so different than the life that was. My life that everyone sees right now should reflect the source that lives in me. We're filled with the Spirit, and then we bear the fruit of the Spirit. But don't you ever dare think it's impossible for you or anybody else. Don't ever look at somebody in the news when they're telling about how bad a crime they just committed and think, no hope. You watch news and you'll see people say some of the worst things, acting awful, doing ungodly things, and it's easy for our flesh to think, no hope. But all they need is an invitation. What they need is an encounter. What they need is to come in touch with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They need the Savior. They need the Lamb. And honey, it might just be you or me that shines that light and leads them to it. Don't cast nobody off, because they're all worthy of it. He made us worthy. We feel unworthy, but friend, all of us can come to that free gift. If we submit to the source, our lives will be changed. If we submit. You know what causes people to be miserable trying to serve God? Lack of submission. It's the lack of submission that brings the struggle. But when we just surrender to Him, it becomes what we needed. In Ezekiel 36, this is some of my favorite passages. You've been here long, you've heard me read it. But this is how the Lord began to describe what He would do in His people. A new heart. A new heart also will I give you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't think nothing else as long as you got that old heart. But if you let Him bring that new heart, let Him put that new heart in, you're going to start thinking. You're going to get the mind of Christ. You're going to start thinking about yourself the way He thinks about you. So He said, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. You're going to be different. There's going to be a change that happens. And down to verse 33, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I have cleansed you from all your iniquity, I will also cause you to dwell in cities. He's going to get you somewhere else. these cities, he's not talking about a regular natural city, but I'm telling you, for us, he said, where you've been dwelling, where you've been hanging out is going to change. And the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of everybody that passed by. Everybody has seen you in your past. But now they say this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and they are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined. You feel like your life's been in ruins? He said, I build the ruined places. I don't just get rid of them and throw them away. He said, I build them. I remodel them. I fix them. I make them new. I build the ruined places and I plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and I will do it. That's the love that God has for his people. That I'll take a chance. You know, people today, they buy properties and they'll look at one and they're like, that's too far gone. I'm not going to take a chance on that. But there's somebody that comes along and looks at it and says, I can do something with that. I'll take a chance. I'll purchase it. I'll get rid of the bad stuff and I'll put the new stuff in and I'll make it something beautiful. I'll make it something that can be lived in, that'll bring life, that families can grow in. I know what to do with it. That's what God sees in us. When everybody else is ready to cast us aside, he said, I'll take a chance on them. They used to sing that song about being on the auction block of sin. And there we stood. But the Lord said, I'll take them. I'll purchase them. I don't care where they've been. I don't care what they've done. I don't care how ugly it is. I'll take them because I know what to do with them. I know what one drop of my blood can do for them. I know what filling them with my spirit can do for them. I know today that change is possible. The plan and life of God will change you so much that people won't even recognize you. Ask Joseph's brothers. Joseph, he lived the change. When his brothers that had threw him off in a pit and sold him into slavery saw him, they didn't even recognize him. What God had done in his life had changed him so completely. They couldn't even recognize him. He had to tell them, I'm Joseph, your brother. And he had to reveal it to them. And they realized what God's plan, that plan that they never thought could happen, had happened. Don't worry about what nobody else thinks about it. God can take care of it. The love that God has for us is the most powerful agent of change that we will ever know. In the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He went ahead. That's the love of God. And he did it knowing that we would reject him, that we wouldn't serve him. He did it willingly, knowing that people would ignore him, blaspheme him, talk about him, make fun of him. But he did it anyway, because that's the love of God that he has toward us. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm not much longer, I'll be done. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And you, somebody say me. And me has he quickened, that was dead in trespasses and sins. In the time of past, I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in every child of disobedience, among whom also we all had our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, and by grace you are saved. Friend, I tell you today, there is a new life to everybody who wants it. Yeah. By the disobedience of one man, it says many were made unrighteous. That was the first Adam of creation. But the second Adam, it says, by him, but by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. We were born into this sin. We were born into this curse. But God said, I've got a way to change that. You must be born again. You must be born of the water. That's baptism in Jesus' name. And you must be born of the Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. We must be born again. That's the new life. If any man thirst, Jesus said, let him come unto me. Any man. Wait a minute, Lord. Any man. I don't know if we really want their kind. If any man. Yeah, but you know they got a record. Any man. Do you know what they got arrested for? Any man. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. We tell people about it, but they got to go to him. I can't give them. They can't believe in me and get living water. They got to believe in him. If you come to me, I'm going to just point you to the direction of the well. I know where to get it. I know where to find it. In Revelation 22 and 17, it's echoed again, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Stand with me. I'm going to get you to the altar quickly. Somebody's hearing what the Spirit is saying to them today. Paul would write to the church about change again. Sometimes people hear this passage of Scripture and just get condemned over it, but it's a Scripture to be celebrated. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he's telling these people that he's writing this letter to, this church there that's full of people that all had a past, because he says, and such were some of you. Some of you that are praising God today were on that list that I just put down. Some of you that got up and spoke an encouraging word today came off of that list. Some of you that prayed somebody through came off of that list. Some of you that baptized people last week, you come off of that list. You hear what I'm talking about? Some of you standing behind pulpits came off of that list of verse 9 and 10. But thank God for verse 11. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Honey, change can happen. That's why he said when we're baptized, we're buried with him in death, and we are raised up to walk in the newness of life. Friend, we are able to be new in him. God can give you beauty for ashes, but we can't do it without him, because he's the source. He's the source. That's why Paul said, the life that I now live, I can only live this by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can't live it because I'm faithful to church. I won't live this life just because I pay my tithes. I won't do it just because I read my Bible through every year. I've got to go to the source, and I've got to kneel down and humble myself before him, repent of my sins, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's that important. Because we can change our habits. We can change where we live, change our clothes, change our hair. Man, we can change a lot of things, but you can't get rid of what God sees. The prophet Jeremiah 13 said this, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots?" They were born that way. They were born that color of skin, and they were born with that spot, those spots in that fur. That's how they were born. They had no say in it. They were born in this world, and the first time they ever look in the mirror, they say, "This is who I am. I was born like this." And the Lord asked a question, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots?" He said, "Then may you also." He said, "If they could, then you would also do good that are just accustomed to doing evil." In other words, he's telling us you can't, because we know that man on his best day and in his best state is vanity. That we can take much soap and nitre, but our iniquity would still be marked before God. And then in another place he said, "How can a young man change his way?" And it's by taking heed according to his word. The only way to be different is his word. We are born again, not corruptible seed, which is unclean and unchanged, but we are born again by incorruptible, the word of God. He is the word made flesh. That's why the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, last scripture. Next to the last scripture. Therefore, if any man, there's that any man again, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I don't care how broke, how busted, how disgusting they are. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How do we get into Christ? In Galatians, Paul said, those of you that have been baptized into Christ, you have to be buried with him in baptism to get into Christ. You don't get into Christ by repeating something. You don't get into Christ by praying something. You're baptized into Christ. Just like we're baptized into the body by the Spirit. The entryway is the baptism. That's how we get in there. But he said, when you do that, you're a new creature in me. Old things are passed away. No more hold on you. A memory for sure. And we wish he would erase our memory sometimes, but sometimes it's good to remember where he brought you from. And that's why when Peter stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost, and he had preached to Israel, to the Jews, the devout men of every nation, he had preached to them that day. He had preached their history. He preached to them about a man they knew was coming, but they missed him. He preached about his death and his burial and his resurrection. And then he addressed them boldly and said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus that you have crucified is both Lord and Christ." And they realized that they had made a past mistake that they could do nothing about. "How can we change this?" So they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We killed him, that we can't undo that. We killed the Lord of glory. What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel in action. That is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And when we obey the gospel through repentance, that's death. Baptism is burial, and the Holy Ghost is that resurrection, that new life. We become new creatures in him. I don't want to just hang around the edge of it. I don't want to hang around with a bunch of new lifers. I want to become a new lifer. I want that new life. I want that new life in Him. I don't want to try another program. I don't want to try to turn over another leaf. I've turned over enough leaves in my life I could have a forest. It's like a perpetual autumn. It's time to stop turning over leaves and become that tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It's time to be like David and say, I'm a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. It's time to start bringing forth fruit. It's time to change. Change can happen. Change can happen. Could we close our eyes across the building for a moment? Just bow our heads together. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance together. But listen to me before you start praying. Just with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Just listen to my voice for just a moment. If you will sincerely pray this prayer of repentance today, I want you to know it doesn't mean you won't ever make another mistake. I don't want you disillusioned. I want you to understand what this is. This is telling God, I'm sorry, and I want to change. I'm sorry for the life I lived, and I want to go in another direction. I want real change in my life, and I'm sorry for the life I have lived unto myself. Repentance is dying out to the life you now live, saying, I'm going to take a step in a new direction toward new life. And so now let's, if you know God's talking to you, if you're tired of just feeling better sometimes, but nothing really changing, then I want you to pray this prayer of repentance with us right now. You use your words to God. Speak out of your heart to Him right now. Let Him hear your voice. You don't have to shout, just under your breath right there if you want to. Just pray a prayer of repentance right now. And saints of God, it's okay for us to repent too, to make sure we're clear of anything we've done wrong. So let's all pray a prayer of repentance right now together. Lord, we just love You today. And God, we're sorry where we've missed it. Lord, I'm sorry where I've ignored You, or Lord, if I've been a stumbling block to somebody, if I've offended my brother, God, forgive me. If I've said or thought anything that is unlike You or that is unkind, forgive me today. If I've tried to go about making my own way instead of walking in Your ways, Father, forgive me today. I want to follow You. I want to take up the cross daily and serve You, Lord, and follow You in righteousness. Lord, help me to examine myself today. And Lord, forgive me for what's wrong. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, O God. And let me walk in Your ways forevermore. And God, if I make that mistake, if I slip again, let me be quick to find this prayer of repentance once more. God, ask for Your forgiveness, Lord. Today, by faith, I have faith today that if I repent from my heart, God, that You will hear me and that You will accept this prayer of repentance. I believe that today in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now clap your hands to the Lord if you did that. If you meant it.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.